You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
And hello there, boys and girls. Welcome to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. I am your host, Sven Gustafson. The mothership has once again touched down, and we've been cleared for landing. We are talking education entrepreneurship in the city of Detroit. Our guest today is Drew Shantz. Drew is the founder and executive director of the Venture School, which is a brand new nonprofit micro charter public high school. They're targeting a fall 2018 opening date right here in the city of Detroit. The school has an interesting mission to provide students with a world-class education with a focus on entrepreneurship. And Drew Shantz, welcome to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. Good of you to come along.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to chat a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, I think this is a really interesting topic and an interesting idea that you've got here. I want to just kind of set the scene here. We came down to the Checker Bar in Detroit downtown. We're sitting out on the patio. It's a gorgeous late July summer afternoon. The sun is shining, but we're in the shade, so no sunburns or anything. The beer is cold, and I don't know, how you doing today, Drew? You feeling good?
Doing well. I mean, it's been a busy week, but that's kind of every week these days. People think that summer slows down for people in the education space, but I think it's actually the opposite. Things get crazy. We're doing a lot of prep work for, we're not opening this next year, but the upcoming year, and there's still just a lot to do, and collaborating with other educators in the summer can be difficult because they're pulled in so many different directions. So it's nice to sit down and relax for a bit and unwind.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get into some of that and some of the work you're doing. So this is your baby, and let me kind of go over your your bio here and your background. In your own words, you're a firm believer in the power of crazy ideas, which I like that. You are a fellow University of Michigan graduate. You majored in political science, and then you got your master's from University of Pennsylvania in education entrepreneurship, which is interesting. And then you did a lot of work in public relations and digital media for nonprofits in Washington, D.C., including the National Alliance for Public Charter Schools and also the D.C. Public Schools. So, like, connect the dots. I mean, how did you kind of come to this idea for the Venture School?
So, yeah, it's not a straightforward path, but it goes back to, I guess, when I was 8 or 10 years old. I always had a passion for the environments that people learned in. So instead of like playing video games or sports or things with my friends, I would fill up notebooks with designs for fictional schools that I wanted to open, and I would write out. It's nerdy, and I was actually going through them the other day, and I was like, wow, this was kind of sad, but I mean, it turned me into who I am today, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
So I just always had this passion for building a school one day. And it came to a point in my career, like I had been working in education for my entire career, education-related fields, and I've had the opportunity to visit a lot of schools, gather best practices, talk to school leaders, kind of gather this collection of innovative ideas for how schools could work, and also gained a really solid awareness for the breakage points in the system and why it's not working for students today. So I got to this point where I said, you know, I need to do this thing. I need to open this high school that I would have always wanted to go to as a student. So I've always had a passion for entrepreneurship and doing things in that space. Started a business in college, tried to start businesses in high school, but what I realized was that as a student, I really didn't have the time, space, or support to do that, in addition to this relentless college-bound push that I was, you know, I was kind of just gliding along and going through the motions, and I didn't really have an opportunity to latch on to things I was passionate about and actually build something of my own. So that's kind of why I want to open this school and give students the opportunity to launch a venture of their own from the ground up at the same time that they're in high school, because I think young people have more promise and potential than we give them credit for. So why wait till after high school to start something great? I think high school students have the recipe for success right where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Why Detroit? I mean, I'm just curious. You were in D.C. for number of years working in nonprofits there. What brought you back to Detroit, and why did you decide to do this here specifically?
So, I think first of all is the need. There's definitely a need for alternative schools here, and I mean, I feel like any city could benefit from a venture school, but Detroit is interesting and unique and special because there has been this entrepreneurial energy here for hundreds of years, and the city has just transformed so much, and entrepreneurship has been such a big part of that. But my belief is that the traditional school environment right now as it stands is not preparing young people to kind of assume the responsibilities of continuing that momentum and making continuing to make Detroit this really great place to be. So I think it's important that in a city that's close to where I grew up outside of Ann Arbor. So Detroit's...
I'll just say it's Saline.
Yeah, Saline. Some people don't know where that is. It's a tiny place.
Not Saline, Saline.
That's right. Yeah. Like Dion.
Yeah.
Detroit's kind of always been on my radar, and a lot of friends from college moved here, said how great it was. So as I was in D.C. and contemplating, where am I going to open this school? Where do we make it happen? It kind of naturally made sense that we do it in Detroit because, it's a city of doers. It's a place where things happen. There's a lot of energy going on here. And it's also just a really nice place to be. People are very friendly here, especially compared to D.C. It's very easy to collaborate with people here. I think if you are your good intention, you're trying to do work for the service of others, others will gladly hop on board and help you out, which is the case that I've found out.
Yeah.
You just have to have good intentions, be thoughtful about the work that you do,
yeah.
And make sure that the community that you're working for is the first and foremost thing that you think about. So Detroit, this is the natural place for a venture school, and we're excited to open up here.
So let's kind of get into the nuts and bolts of the venture school. First of all, you're targeting opening in Northeast Detroit. Do you have a specific location already picked out, or?
We don't have a specific location yet, but we're working with the Denby Neighborhood Alliance and an organization called Great Communities Now to kind of pinpoint a potential location. We have a number of different ideas for where we could locate. But what is driving that location choice is our desire to create a really innovative and new learning environment for students. So this will not be a traditional, rows of desks facing a whiteboard in the front of the room. It'll be space that's designed specifically for different kinds of learners, and will resemble probably more of a Google office or a co-working space than a traditional classroom. So we really need a blank space, a blank canvas, where we'll have a lot of movable furniture, collaborative work environments so students can learn how they learn best in terms of the environment that they're in. We want them to be comfortable. We want them to be able to collaborate as much as possible.
Let's talk a little bit about the model of venture school. I mean, this is, you're really emphasizing entrepreneurship, and in fact, I think the idea is that every student is going to basically, over the 4 years that they're enrolled, build their own for-profit or non-profit venture from the ground up, and to do whatever they want. They can continue pursuing it once they graduate or whatever. I mean, tell us about the curriculum and how it's going to work. I assume it's not 100% just, work on your venture, right? There's going to be fundamentals as well.
So part of it is this hyper-personalized academic program. So we feel like that's really important to implement just because students are coming into high school at a variety of different points. So we want to make sure that the core academic curriculum that we implement meets them where they are, builds on fundamentals, and then takes them to and beyond grade level. So that's, the fundamental part of the school. It's a school, so students need to learn those things that will prepare them for success beyond high school. But we think that the entrepreneurial aspect is really going to help with that core academics piece, because of the relevancy that we'll be able to infuse into what the students are learning. So their English language arts classes will be reflective of the things that they are interested in and have this entrepreneurial flavor to them. So hopefully the question of why are we learning this is never asked at Venture School. But the, like you said, the unique part about this is the fact that students will have the opportunity to grow a venture of their own from the ground up. We think that this is kind of the best way to instill an entrepreneurial mindset, which is what we're all about. Not necessarily creating business owners or business leaders or something like that, which is, you know, fine if they decide to do that. But we think it's more important to have this mindset of skills like collaboration, problem solving, critical thinking, those kind of things that can be developed through the venture creation process and then applied to wherever they decide to go after high school, whether that be college, whether that be right into a career. But we're all about this mindset, making and helping students to unleash that and unpack those skills to, like I said, apply to the various directions they might go.
And it sounds like you're really limiting the class size. And when I say class, I mean like the grade level size, right? This is, I mean, that's the putting the micro in the micro charter, right?
So whenever anybody asks me, I always say it's, you know, a micro charter school. And they're like, what's micro? And it's mostly there to fuel further conversation because people always ask. So I don't know that it's necessarily micro. There's 35 students per grade, so it's not like three.
Small,
it's small, but small by design. So we're doing that because it's we feel like creating an intimate learning environment is also ultimately going to help the students to progress academically and develop entrepreneurially. And we feel like our ratio of two dedicated teachers per cohort of 35 students is going to be a really good way to develop relationships with the students and also to help them to meet their goals both academically and socially and entrepreneurially. So small by design, we would like to keep it that way. That does make funding a challenge just because you know, with how the funding formula works, money follows the student. Each student has a per pupil allocation that basically funds a school.
Right, from the state of Michigan.
Right. So we will have to make up that difference. But we have a plan in place so that it is sustainable financially, which is really important to us. But yeah, starting with a small number is not something that people do often. I think it makes sense though to start at a small scale because it's a lot easier to grow up than scale down. Especially in a school environment, and we're dealing with students' lives here, so we want to make sure that what we do is really, really solid for a small group before we start to expand and offer it to more students.
Yeah. So two teachers for each 35 student, you know, graduate or grade level. Who will these teachers be? I mean, with the focus on entrepreneurship, it seems like that's kind of a specialized role. I mean, but they still have to be certified as teachers and everything. I mean, how are you going to be hiring? Like, talk about that.
Absolutely. So we just hired our principal, which is really exciting. And he's going to be a leader in that space of hiring the faculty.
Okay.
They won't necessarily have this entrepreneurial focus or on this... the blinders on our background on entrepreneurship. We're more concerned about the core academics when we're talking about our instructional staff, but we're relying on this growing trend, I guess, of place-based education to fuel the entrepreneurial aspect of the school. So we want to treat Detroit as our classroom as much as the Venture School learning space is. So the plan is to have students paired with mentors and internship opportunities that they will participate in every week, and we'll be going out into different startups across the city, different nonprofit organizations, established businesses to use that as an extension of our learning environment. So that's
some of the business incubators around town too.
Yeah, we actually we just took students in our venture lab, which is our pop-up classroom. We can talk about that later. On a entrepreneurial excursion downtown, so we took them to the Bamboo and to Pony Ride and exposed them to the different kind of entrepreneurial spaces that are available here in Detroit.
Rumor has it you even met with Daily Detroit.
We did, yeah.
Those guys are a bunch of scrubs, man.
I wouldn't say that. But we did have the opportunity to expose them to the space that they really weren't aware of before, and we hope to continue on with that momentum as we go forward when we actually open. So we want community partnerships as much as possible. We want students to be exposed to a variety of different industries, a variety of different sectors. So actually the focus for their first year is going to be every month we're going to focus on a different industry or area where innovation could happen. So we haven't nailed this down, but for example, September could be fashion, October could be food and restaurants, November could be retail, something like that. So a lot of students we found have these ideas for what they might want to do after they graduate high school, what career they might want to go to. But I think it's also important to expose them to what else is out there, so that their doors continue to open and they might find something that sparks their interest elsewhere. And that also plays into this place-based education of making Detroit as much a part of the learning experience as the physical space that they're in day to day.
Now, from the student's perspective, I mean, you're certainly looking for a certain caliber of student. I mean, will students have to apply to get in? How's that going to work? I mean, do they have to clear certain, academic benchmarks?
No, it will be open to all students. We want to serve any student who's interested in coming. So we have plans in place to make sure that our academic offerings or all of our offerings meet any student, depending on they can come from. They'll primarily be coming from the neighborhood that we want to work in, but I assume that others will probably want to come from other parts of the city. So if we have, the nature of how the charter school works is that if there are more students interested than there are seats available, then we would have to hold a lottery. And it's a good problem it's a good and a bad problem to have, just because we kind of challenged ourselves in that, because we have these 35 seats that we want to fill, and it's small, so we can't serve as many students as we probably would like to the first year. But if demand is there and people continue to want this opportunity, and other communities come to us and say, yeah, we would like something like this in our community, then that's a time when we think about expanding. So starting small is kind of a blessing and a curse in that regard.
When you launch, again, your target date is next fall, will you be launching grades 9, 10, 11, 12 all at once, or do you plan like a phased-in approach like some new schools do?
We're gonna phase it, so starting with 35 ninth graders.
And then, so you talked about how, busy you've been this summer, and, you're talking about running the Venture Labs, which I want to ask you about in a second also, but I'd imagine you're meeting with a lot of people trying to, set up future partnership arrangements and everything. I mean, talk about some of the work you're doing here in the interim to try to just get this thing off the ground.
It's a constant just go somewhere, meet with someone, hop over to another meeting, do a pitch, tell them about what Venture School is all about, and then move on to the next one, figure out how we might be able to collaborate. And I never turn down anybody who wants to give me a couple minutes to listen, because I could talk about this all day. We partnered with a number of different organizations, like I said, in the neighborhood, which I think is one of the most important. The Denby Neighborhood Alliance and Great Communities Now are two really solid partners that we've had. We do our Venture Lab pop-up classrooms at the Detroit Play Center on Van Dyke and 7 Mile. They've been an incredible partner to us and just have really supported us through this pop-up classroom phase. So we're really thankful to them. We're doing some work with Junior Achievement on the entrepreneurial education side and making sure that our offerings are aligned to Common Core state standards and making sure that everything is as much rigorous as it is enjoyable for the students. And a variety of just other educators in the city who are interested in what we're doing. Education-minded folks and working in that space, always talking and trying to collaborate. And what's most important for me, especially in this phase, is for people to push back on the idea and say, this is not going to work for XYZ reason. and then hopefully work together to figure out how we can make it better. So I always ask people, if something here doesn't sit right, let me know, because I don't have all the answers. This is definitely a collaborative effort, and I rely on other people tremendously to, I have relied on other people tremendously to make the vision what it is today.
At the same time, you're going to be a public charter school. So talk about how that works in terms of funding. I mean, because you're actively fundraising as part of this as well, right?
So, like I said, the per pupil amount that we will receive when the school opens, and we wouldn't receive that money until after students are enrolled and they're there. So we're going to be operating at a deficit for a little bit just because of the gap in funding that we'll have to raise. And that, in addition to that, we have this year zero budget. So year zero is what we're calling this final planning year. And we also need to raise money for that. So that's a part of my conversations with folks is, do you know somebody who would like to support us financially? I ask for support in wealth, work, and wisdom. Wealth is kind of priority number one right now.
Yeah, self-explanatory.
So we do need to fundraise a bit to make up that difference. But like I said, our financial model is sustainable so that by year two, all of our incoming per pupil funding will fund the school. And we won't have to do nearly as much outside fundraising. It's just kind of getting the startup capital to get this thing going is an incredible challenge.
Are you ready to take your business from the kitchen table or move out of the coffee shop? Then come to Bamboo Detroit, where you'll find a diverse community of doers, flexible co-working space, and plenty of other perks for as low as $50 a month. Bamboo offers super fast internet, around-the-clock access, and newly expanded office space. Visit BambooDetroit.com for more information. And you're listening to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. We are talking today with Drew Shantz, the founder and executive director of the Venture School. Drew, you're a user of Bamboo Detroit yourself, are you not?
I am, yeah. I was saying earlier that that's one of the first things that I did when I moved back to Detroit was to find some space at Bamboo, just because working from home can be lonely sometimes. And since I'm the only one on the ground, well, now that we've hired our principal, it'll be our second person on the ground, but it's nice to be around other people, not necessarily doing the same work that I'm doing, but collaborating and throwing around ideas and offering up possibilities to other people. The random kind of collisions that happen there.
Borrowing their cell phone charger cords and everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, that's good, too. And the free supply of coffee is much needed. It's been a really... That was priority number one, is setting that up for myself, so I had a dedicated space to work and drink coffee and print stuff.
I think you're also working, because you're a charter school, you have to find an authorizer, right? And I think that's one of the things you're working on, correct?
Yeah, so we're working, right now we hope to gain authorization through Grand Valley State. We're working with that process right now.
Why did you decide to go the charter route as opposed to like making this, you know, a private academy model or something like that? And I mean, I say that also because, you know, it's no secret charter schools in the city of Detroit have had a really, you know, mixed record, both in terms of the academic outcomes, but also from, you know, a financial viability standpoint. I mean, there have been plenty of charters that have just kind of closed down with little to no notice and left a lot of kids and parents in the lurch.
I mean, so that's a narrative that we have to combat constantly, is that that we, you know, that we're a charter school, this is how we're going to operate, but we're going to do things differently.
How so?
That starts with our small size. So we're really we're a nonprofit. So there's no money making opportunities here, really. Our small size kind of aids in that, so we're being really lean and efficient with our funds and making sure that they're directed to enhancing the student experience more than anything. We're trying to, in our micro size, cut down on the two primary capital expenses for a school, which is staff and facilities. So we're trying to innovate in that space and make sure that we're really lean and efficient that way. And I think our the time that we've spent on just really honing in this model, getting feedback, pushback, and getting a proof of concept out there and tested and in front of people before the school even opens is a, I think, a testament to our dedication to the people for whom we want to serve, we want the school to serve. So we want to do it differently in the fact that we're open, we're transparent, we want this to be a community-led process, and it's not going to be school as usual. So we're really confident in our plans to do that, and it's ultimately going to succeed with the help of other people who have been along the way with us since the beginning.
So will the school be like targeting students just within the city of Detroit, or is it broader than the city limits?
Just Detroit right now. We want this to be as much a neighborhood school as possible, because we really believe in the power of neighborhoods and the value of a community-rooted school. So we would like to draw primarily from the neighborhood for our student population. And I think you asked about a private school versus the charter school earlier. I don't think I answered that. In addition to our belief in the power of neighborhoods, we really believe in public schools. And I want Venture School to be open to as many students as possible, all students. And a private school could do that if we got a lot more funding to, you know, from individuals or foundations who would essentially fund the tuition, or that would be the state money that we wouldn't get as a private school. But I think it's just really powerful to have public in there and be an institution that's open to the community, open to all students, and serve everybody regardless of where they come from.
I asked earlier about you know, why you picked Detroit, but I'm just curious, and sort of as a follow-up question, how did you land out in the Denby neighborhood?
So we kind of found them at the same time that they found us. I had some friends who were teaching and working up there, and they introduced me to the leaders of the community groups that I was talking about. I kind of gave them the spiel of this is what we want to try to do, and they said, like, yeah, this is something that our community needs. We're really focused on giving students an opportunity to not just go through school as usual, but find an educational opportunity that really resonates with them. And there's a really heavy focus on business development up there and trying to revitalize some of the main corridors. Whittier, for example, is kind of our target area of where we want to work. So we have this vision of a school that kind of interplays with small businesses that are coming up there and creating this environment that feeds off of education, entrepreneurship, small business, and community to kind of breathe new life into that area. So the community organization said, yeah, we think that Venture School is something that can help us to achieve those goals.
Let's transition to the venture labs, which you've been talking about. So in essence, it sounds like the school is already in some way kind of up and running already.
You could say that. It's so venture labs are our pop-up classrooms, as you would do a pop-up restaurant and test out your food before you actually opened a physical restaurant. We're doing the same thing with schools. We got a lot of inspiration for this from our work with 4.0 schools down in New Orleans, who really kind of pioneers the small school and micro school and pop-up school movement. So we've been working with the Say Detroit Play Center, as I said, and this past spring we worked with middle school students and delivered entrepreneurial curriculum infused with core academics to them. And now we have a 6-week pilot with high school students who are there over the summer and are taking them through each stage of the entrepreneurial process. So day one was exposing them to the entrepreneurial mindset. We took them on the excursion of entrepreneurial spaces downtown on day two. We recently had a session on identifying opportunities for innovation, how to brainstorm effectively and come up with creative solutions to problems. And then we're going to, in the coming weeks, talk about how to test ideas and receive feedback, and then how to actually implement ideas. And then the last day will be a entrepreneurial sprint, is what we're calling it. So we'll give them kind of an entrepreneurial challenge to accomplish during their session, and then the community will come in and kind of evaluate their project. Yeah. So the curriculum is a mix between the core academic pieces, but we're presenting them through an entrepreneurial lens that hopefully is a lot more enjoyable than sitting down and doing math worksheets.
So you've been touring, you know, the students around and exploring the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Detroit. A few episodes back, we had as our guest Ned Stabler, the CEO of TechTown, and I asked him this same question about, you know, his sort of assessment of the state of entrepreneurship in Detroit. And he said it was kind of a mixed bag. You know, the tech entrepreneurship scene is a little bit more established here, but it's been spreading to more retail. But it's like anything in the city right now, it's not equitably distributed across, you know, this entire huge city of ours. I mean, what's your take on the state of entrepreneurship? What are you seeing out there?
Really similar things. I mean, the reason that we wanted to bring the students down, first of all, was to kind of bridge this entrepreneurial divide that exists in the city. I think there's just so much tremendous stuff happening downtown and midtown, and other areas, other pockets of the city, Southwest, Live 6 area. There's a lot of good stuff happening, but some of the neighborhoods really aren't feeling that. So the 48224, for example, 48205,
are those east side zip codes?
Yeah. Those are east side zip codes where we're working. They're just not, this entrepreneurial energy isn't there, and but it's there, but it hasn't like manifested itself into something that you can see like down here. So actually, in our collaboration and work with Rock Ventures, we've been talking about ways to kind of funnel that energy to the neighborhoods, bring students downtown, have people from downtown go there, and kind of build this bridge between what's happening here and what's happening there. So hopefully we can all grow as a result. Yeah.
So kind of wrap-up question, what have you found to be the biggest challenge so far in trying to get this off the ground? I mean, how long have you been at this project, trying to, you know, really work in earnest on the venture school?
Well, I started really full-time 1 year. I've been working on it full-time and not doing anything else. But prior to that, I actually took this idea through grad school, and this was kind of my working thesis that I was kind of testing through an academic lens and getting that perspective. So probably 2 years total so far, and then we have another year to go of this planning. It's, I mean, I tell you what's not challenging is keeping the work going. I mean, I'm just incredibly motivated and passionate about this project that it's what gets me up in the morning, and I can't really imagine doing anything else. So that part is like, check, totally fine. But I mean, the funding part has been challenging. It's tough with so many different priorities happening in the city. To, you know, funders have a lot of difficult decisions to make in terms of what's going to be best for the city. So we're constantly trying to say, you know, why this is going to be a valuable addition to the Detroit education landscape, and we hope that funders will help us out.
And I have to say too, I mean, you're a young guy. I was just thinking, like, I probably have shirts in my closet that are older than you are. I mean, that's not a critique, but I mean, you're a young guy who's never done this before, never launched a school. That's gotta be tough too.
Yeah. And I haven't, I'll be the first one to say it. I've not done this before, but I am really good at surrounding myself with people who have that expertise and who can provide that kind of specific work. I'm definitely a vision setter, and this is my vision for venture school, but I've been able to assemble some people who have really good expertise in school building, in teaching and learning, in entrepreneurship, to kind of help out and fill in those gaps.
That's Drew Shantz. He's founder and executive director of the Venture School in Detroit. Hey, Drew, thanks so much for coming by the Daily Detroit Happy Hour. It's been great talking with you.
Thanks so much. And if any of your listeners are interested in learning more about Venture School,
yes,
they can just
the URL, please.
Yeah, venture.school. Just type that in your search box, and you'll go to our website, find out a lot more about our approach, our mission, our vision, and then also weekly recaps of all of our venture labs. So go there, check it out, drop me an email if you're interested, and look forward to hopefully collaborating with some more folks.
Excellent. That's venture.school. All right. Well, listeners, thanks so much for downloading us and having to listen. Hope you enjoyed it. Want to give a thanks to the Checker Bar and Grill in downtown Detroit. They got a fine patio and a fine selection of food and drink. We want to give a pitch to our listeners to consider becoming a member for just $5 a month. You can support both this podcast and all the great content that comes to you for free each month on DailyDetroit.com. Go to DailyDetroit.com and click the membership tab at the top of the page. You'll get a free Daily Detroit t-shirt emblazoned with the beautiful Daily Detroit crest. Other thank yous, we want to thank Podcast Detroit for all their fine support. We thank you to Bamboo Detroit for becoming our first underwriter for this show. And thank you for listening. And until next time, be good, do good work, and take care of one another. So long.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.